Good morning, Sower Nation. Welcome to Wednesday, August the 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. We got one shot at this day, and the best shot we got is the winning shot, which is to begin it with Jesus. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's jump straight away into consecration this morning, which is the simple offering of ourselves up to Jesus, who's been waiting on us. He was up before we were. And he's ready to dive in, to receive us, to consecrate us, to transform us, and to demonstrate his life and love and power through us today in this world. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry, pulling from that email from yesterday, titled it like this: Jesus is changing my life. That was the subject line of that email I read you all yesterday. Jesus is changing my life. Our text is a new text, okay? You may not have known it, but we drove through the night. The RV left the campsite. You were sleeping. And we're showing up at Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. Hear now the word of the Lord. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. I think I missed that sentence in my first dozen or so readings through the Acts of the Apostles. And still, I hardly grasp it. So, who said this? Paul and Barnabas, also known as the Son of Encouragement. How could we finish the entire series on encouragement and not meet up with Barney? We see him first in Acts chapter 4, quote, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. It's chapter 4, 36 and 37. We might also call him a son of generosity, right? Later, and of course, generosity is one of the major modes of encouragement. I could tell you some of those stories. Later, we see Barnabas sent to Antioch, and we get this bit, chapter 11 of Acts. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. That's chapter 11 of Acts 22 to 24. News of what reached the church in Jerusalem, news of the hardships of the followers of Jesus. Whenever the gospel is about to spread, it is met with opposition of all sorts. The opposition comes in the form of trials of many kinds, to borrow a phrase from James. And these, quote, trials of many kinds, being experienced by many people all around us all the time, create the conditions for the kind of encouragement we have discovered over these past 60-ish days. It brings us to this word from Barnabas. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Anybody out there seen this one on a bumper sticker lately? It seems to be the opposite of the so-called prosperity gospel, doesn't it? While this may not be suitable for framing or for cross-stitched pillow covers, it does offer the perfect and perfecting framework for real faith. No one ever taught me this. Say it aloud. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Wow. Why is this? Why must we go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God? Because this is where the kingdom of God breaks in. Places of loss, suffering, hardship, brokenness, and pain. For the followers of Jesus, when you're being broken down, it is a sign that the kingdom of God is breaking in. Hardships are a sign Jesus is about to promote you to the next level of entrustment in the kingdom of God. This is why the ministry of encouragement figures so prominently in the spread of the gospel of the kingdom. In the kingdom of Jesus, we don't have merit badges. We have grace scars. Imagine those early Christians still telling their stories and showing off their scars around the campfires of heaven. Remember that time Peter was in prison? Or when Paul was murdered and left for dead? Or when Mary, the virgin, got the, quote, good news of the miracle baby? Or when Lazarus died? Or when Dad got cancer? Or when the house burned down? Or when alcohol consumed a decade of your life? Or the car crash left you paralyzed? Or it brings to mind the lyrics of the great hymn of the church. Crown Him with Many Crowns by Matthew Bridges. Let's just sing it. Crown Him the Lord of Love. Behold His hands and side. Those wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified. We'll sing that all in a minute, I think. You know what a rich wound is? It is a grace scar, gleaming with the glory of God. You know the difference between an unhealed wound and a scar of grace? Encouragement. It's why encouragers are always the forerunners of awakening. Let's pray. Father, thank you that hardship is the doorway into your kingdom. Thank you for the glorious gleaming scars of Jesus, who is the suffering one and the risen one, the broken one and the healed one, the high King of heaven and the joy of every longing heart. Thank you that Jesus is changing our lives. Thank you for the hardships and trials, because we know in your hands they become the holy transformations we never wanted, but would never trade. Holy Spirit, you are the great encourager. Fill our hearts with courage and make us to be true encouragers, the forerunners of awakening. For your name's sake, Jesus. Amen. The journal prompts today. How about your scars? Are they gleaming yet? I know some of them are still scabbed over and you pick at them and they start bleeding again. I know, I get it. What about those not quite healed wounds? Are you encouraged to get up and get back in the game? Come on. Well, we're going to sing today, Crown Him with Many Crowns. What a hymn. Dad's going to sing it with me, so I'm looking forward to that. But I don't know. How are you wrestling with this text today? We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God, it's just a different place. I think about, you know, Jesus, like he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right? There it is. Like, not the strong in spirit, not the, you know, I just remember my kids' cartoon that they watched growing up. Remember, maybe some of you may remember Bob the Builder. And everything would get broken in Bob the Builder cartoon, and things would go sideways and haywire and just chaos. And Bob would come up and everybody would say, can we fix it? And do you remember what Bob would say? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. I mean, it's just the mantra of self-determination, of positive thinking, of unbridled optimism. And you know what? All that, it'll get you down the road. I'm not going to tell you it won't. But it won't get you in the kingdom of God. I can tell you that. The kingdom of God is this place where you say, can we fix it? And we say, yes, he can. Jesus can. And we're giving up on being the fixers of our own lives, and especially the fixers of other people's lives. Good gracious. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of doing it, and I'm tired of people trying to do it for me. Aren't you? That's why Jesus, at the very beginning of his teaching, he says, blessed. It's his favorite word, blessed. Means like goodness, rightness, everything okayness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's like, you know, if poor in spirit, it means you know you can't fix it. I remember one translation I read years ago, blessed are those who know their desperate need of God. Yes, he can. That's why I think they say we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, because the first hardship and the second hardship and the 50th hardship, I mean, I still feel like, I know looking back on my life, it was a long series of yes, we can. Yes, we can. I think I've fixed a bunch of things, sort of. It's amazing that the Beatitudes, next place they go, I'm looking forward to the Gospel series. I mean, we're not going to get to go camp out very long anywhere in 89 days and four gospels, but we're going to have a good time. It's going to be kind of like we're going to get into a hot air balloon and just kind of let the wind take us across all these scenes. Oh, but the second verse, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's kind of like you finally come to grips with the fact that you can't fix it, and then you just kind of grieve a little bit, or maybe a lot, over all that's broken. That even in trying to fix it, you made it worse. And you just begin to receive the comfort of Jesus into your life. And I could keep going. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, he goes from there, for they shall inherit the earth. And meek, you know what that is? That's not just sort of a milquetoast weakness. No, meekness is strength, the strength of God that's coming to a person who's come to the end of themselves. And it's that strength being held in reserve in a person. That's who inherits the earth. Anyway, I got to stop. Me and Dad got a saying. Crown him with many crowns. It's number 278.
How many verses are we going to sing?
All right. Well, Dad, we're going to be singing number 278, Crown Him with Many Crowns. We're going to sing all four verses because it tells the whole story.
Amen.
And you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, step up into the microphone here where you can sit up straight and sing out loud.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and lend him as my matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways. From pole to pole that wars may cease, and all he prayers and prays. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced hate their flowers of paradise extend, their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him the Lord of love, befold his hands and side. Those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. Amen.
All right, you ready? How about one more round? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart.
Today, to stay forever and ever. Well, that crowned him with many crowns. That's one of my favorite hymns.
Yep. And we did that pretty good.
Yep.
And I think we've given people a good song for the day.
I tell you what to do. They'll go. They'll leave that church humming that song.
That's right.
Then next week, you'll hear them if you listen. They'll sing it in their truck.
That's good.
Amen.
That's what you used to do, isn't it? Sing
in
your truck.
I sure did.
Singing. Remember, Dad, you remember the song we used to sing? You'd take me and Missy and Eric out, and we'd need a rain.
We need a rain about an inch and a half.
We need a rain
about an inch and a half.
We need a rain
about an inch and a half. Have faith it will.
We would drive around.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? A lot of times we'd get a rain.
That's right. We'd drive field to field in the midst of the drought of the summer.
Yeah, we'd go by the Boots field and the Early Joe field. And every one of them, because we named our fields after the men that helped us plant them.
All those years.
Yep. And it's all it takes is just a little thinking, and they come right back to you.
Yep.
And, you know, God tells us to not forget him, and we won't forget him if we don't forget his songs.
That's good.
Amen.
Well, everybody, we've given you three songs today, so it's time to hit the fields and get to sowing.
Amen.
So we'll be looking for you out there. I got my seeds. Dad's got his. You got yours. We'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
See you on the field.
Amen.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.